Club on the Tantalk Radio Network. I spent 35 years in publishing, and today I want to tell you about a book that could change your life. The book is No Cash, No Problem. The author is Dave Wagenfort. Dave Wagenfort is one of the greatest barter experts in the world. He's bartered over $500 million in goods and services. If you want to remodel your home, but the cost is just too high, or maybe there's an automobile that you have dreamed of owning but thought you just couldn't afford, well, this book will allow you to do both of those things, plus hundreds more with little or no cash. Maybe you're a business owner with a cash flow problem that leads to low or non-existing profits. Read this book and see how you can increase your cash flow and your profits by time-proven techniques. The book again is No Cash, No Problem, and you can buy it now online at www.tantalknetwork.com. Click on the book and follow the instructions, or pick up the phone and call Lola at 727-441-3311. The book costs only $6.99, so do yourself a favor and buy the book today.
Stan White State Farm Agency takes this time out to salute the men and women in uniform who stood tall for our freedom around the world. Let's give them the hero's welcome home they deserve. That's from Stan White State Farm Agency in Tampa, where clients wouldn't trust their insurance needs with anyone else. Call 813-971-1123 or visit standbyme.com for more information on their services, or stop by at 3204 Cove Bend Drive. Stan White State Farm Agency and the team are on the air, saying USA all the way.
Bobby, what's wrong with the car?
Uh-oh, I think it's broke.
Look, that thing there is all swoked up.
We got a pair of pliers and a screwdriver. We can find out.
I think we should just start poking stuff.
All right. Don't do that, folks. Tune into the Grease Gurus. Don't go to the emergency room. Go to the Grease Gurus and learn why your car might have stopped on the side of the road and what not to touch.
On Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ouch, that hurt!
Have you ever had the desire to do something adventurous, exciting, fun, delicious, or suspicious, and don't know why or when it hit you? Well, now you'll know. 441-3311. Yes, you'll hear it right here on your own local radio station. You can shout your message to the world. Get people to come to your business, enjoy your services or goods, and the good news is it's affordable. Call 441-3311. That's 727-441-3311. And, oh, by the way, my name is Lola.
Tampa Bay's Tantalk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the IMHO.love show. It's in my humble opinion, .love. I'm Lou Angel Wolf. I'm your host tonight. And thank you so much for listening in or watching on Facebook. And we got lots of people on already, Rose and Pam and Andre. And very nice. Welcome aboard. The show is being broadcast on Facebook Live. We're also on YouTube Live. It's being shown on Podomatic and the IRN Broadcast Company. It's irnbroadcast.com. They archive the show for us. And, of course, our homepage, imho.love, in my humble opinion, .love. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is December 4th. Yeah, December 4th. Anybody agree with me? Okay, very good. It's 2018.
Yes, I think it was December 4th yesterday. It's December 5th today.
Well, that's what I was looking for, some help.
Right, I know. I know. God, it's a good thing I know how to
use
it.
The days just flow together, man. It's just
a clock and a calendar.
Oh, there it is up there in the corner.
Okay. I had to check it earlier myself.
Yeah, it's 12:05. Well, welcome to the show, folks. And we have a very special guest with us. And like this guy. He's just one of those guys that has a very, very nice presence, and he is part of our CE5 group, and CE5, of course, being Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, and that's a human-initiated meditation or prayer to reach out to any type of extraterrestrial intelligence being, spirit, and we try to commune. We offer the purest part of our humanity for communication with theirs. And sometimes it works out really, really great. And now this fella here that I'm going to introduce to you, he has had some extraordinary experiences. with ETs and in this entire genre. He's passionate about finding out more. And welcome to the IMHO show, Leroy Spooner.
Thank you, sir.
Good to see you, man.
It's good to be here.
Last time I saw you, we were sitting on a field together.
Getting, that's right.
Getting we're dew on us.
Missed, dew, something.
Yeah. And, of course, over here to my left, it's our co-host. It's my buddy, Michael Merberg.
Thanks for letting me be here, Lou. I appreciate that.
Well, you're... Dude, you're half of it.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the one with the tail. It's okay. Speaking of tails,
this week, because I got defacebooked for a while.
Did you?
I did. I have, you know, my acerbic personal self is under Norman Michael Merberg Jr. Okay, mm-hmm. That was the first one I started. And I realized that... I post a lot of things that are controversial in the political arena, especially this kind of stuff.
Sure.
So I got silenced for a few days, and decided that okay, well, if I can only post on my own site, let's get Tampa CE5 ambassadors to the universe, Darby Ranch, going.
Okay.
So I did a Facebook page for that, and those of you who want to find. Find me there. You can also contact
and
me.
And it's on Facebook. Website.
And it's on Facebook. Yeah, it's kind of.
And what's it? What's the title of it?
You know, as I'm remembering it, it is actually. I'll bring it up.
And, okay. It'll give you the exact title so you can follow it or link it. Now, Leroy, you visit with us all the time out there, and you're part of our CE5 group. We've just had some extraordinary time and experiences out there. And what happened, the thing that I'm noticing is I get to know everybody in our group. They come from a deep line of this. You know, I mean, my thing was in utero, so I wasn't even here yet, you know. And tell us, you know, some of your earlier, feelings about something outside of us.
Okay, well, when I was about 14, 15 years old,
mm-hmm.
a young man still in school and up on a lake in Connecticut, living in Brookfield, Connecticut, looking out over Candlewood Lake.
Beautiful.
And borderline up in New York, mm-hmm. you know, New York State right there. At the time, there happened to be a big flux of UFO sightings going on up in mm-hmm. Connecticut.
It was okay.
It was the Hudson Valley UFO flap.
What year was that?
It was the 70s, right?
Yeah, that started about 79 well, to that's 80s.
That's the same time that I saw the gigantic orb with others on the Berkshire Parkway, January 19th, 1979. Same neck of the woods, just in Massachusetts, a little bit further up.
Right.
Okay. Well,
that whole area along New York State border with Connecticut and in the Hudson mm-hmm. Valley areas. A lot of UFO sightings in that area. They even had one issue with the nuclear plant right there.
Yes.
Indian Point nuclear plant had one of these crafts over top of it, the triangular ship, and that's the same thing that I had seen, and shut down some of the operations there at the nuclear plant, made a lot of people nervous.
Okay, oh, I would imagine. But you've first person seen a UFO, a saucer?
Yeah, one night, and I did this often.
How long ago was this?
Well, let's stop this for a minute here. You have UFO running in your family.
Yes.
Let's go into that for a little bit.
Okay.
My grandfather in the early 1950s painted a painting, and this is before, you know, any of the books are starting to come out, and Von Daniken, you know, with his big book, and he painted with oils.
Uh-huh.
A scene in Egypt where there was a pyramid,
right.
And if you've ever seen the three-dimensional paintings that they have where the image is cut out of the pyramid and you could see into the pyramid,
mm-hmm.
and there was a sarcophagus sitting in there.
Uh-huh.
And just above that, sitting off to one side, was a UFO, a craft.
Yeah.
And he painted this out of his mind, his heart.
Really?
And
he had a vision.
He had a vision.
He painted his vision.
Yeah, and you, and those
I love
us,
that part.
Yeah, those of us know that there's just another wave that ET and HIV connects with us is through our dream states and even in our waking states, but and especially in artistically motivated, highly spiritual states, which is where much somebody who paints this kind of thing would have to be in order to do it.
Right.
Now, and you got and this painting was in your home?
Yes.
And so you looked at it every day. Wow. Man, talk about a subtle presence.
Well, my great-grandfather, he was a Mason. He was third-degree Mason, you know, okay. And he ran the clerk's office in the town of Kent, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also a writer for the newspaper in the town. And he, you know, raised my grandfather up right. with all these ideas in his head.
Sure.
So it's kind of been passed down generationally, you know, from father to son.
Yeah, the Freemasons are very ethereal thinking. I mean, they do have the huge projections of the past, and you know, it's all. And you can listen to some of their stuff, and it's, you know, there's some legitimacy to some of it. Some definite spiritual worth. Mm-hmm. Many of the lessons imparted in their teachings are. You know, a good human stance, as far right. as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you get up to the presidential level, it gets a little funky, I guess.
Yeah, see, I'm not a joiner.
Yeah,
I'm not, so I don't join things.
Right.
You know, like Groucho Marx says, I don't want to belong to a club that would have me as a member.
Yeah.
So,
and that's wise advice. Yeah. So those of you out there, don't join Facebook Tampa CE5 Ambassador to the Universe, Darby Ranch, Florida, USA. It's okay. You can stay away if you want.
I'm a free agent. I'll come in and just
stay under the radar.
Yeah. You know, I loved being under the radar, to be honest. I can tell you, I was a touring stand-up comic all through the late 80s and early 90s to mid-90s. And there was a time in my life where all I had was I had a paper New Jersey driver's license with no picture on it, okay? And that was my only piece of identification. I had no credit cards. I didn't carry my Social Security card. And my registration to my car, those were the two things I had in my wallet, and cash. I did everything with cash. I got paid in cash. I traveled with cash. I did everything with cash. And
wow.
It was really freeing.
Wow, that's like 1850s.
I know. I would travel with squirrel hides at times because they have true worth. But
especially the squirrels that you took them off.
Funny. Leroy, so you're up in Connecticut. You're a 15-year-old guy. You're looking out over the lake, and what do you see?
I had gone up. It was the middle of the night. It was end of summer. Crickets and katydids singing away, you know, real loud.
The Indian summer sightings.
Yeah. And those are bugs for people that don't understand the northern fauna and flora.
Yeah.
Cicadas. And I had gone up to the cliffs behind the house,
uh-huh.
and I was up there sitting on the rocks, and in sparse trees here and there.
Sure. You're by yourself?
And I was all by myself, middle of the night, and I'm looking out over the lake, checking the stars out, and just enjoying
a peaceful night. Oh, sure. You're grounding.
And all of a sudden, I noticed, it's like you feel a little chill go up the back of your neck, you know, and no sound. The crickets, the katydids, cicadas, all silent, everything
really?
Quiet.
Whoa.
And there was like a slight breeze of something that pushed through the leaves past me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm starting to look behind me in the woods, you know, dark woods behind me, because I'm thinking, you know, do I have some kind of creature or something that I don't know of that's coming up behind me that's, you know, somehow these bugs detected?
The fight or flight switch has been
right.
switched on.
So I'm looking back that way, and I happen to notice lights shining through some of the branches of the sparse trees up there, and something was moving towards me.
Uh-huh.
And right at treetop level was one of these triangular craft,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of floated over top of me. If you could imagine a little cork floating on the laziest river you ever saw.
Yeah.
Here's this thing, treetop level, just coming over top of me, massive ship. And it's just barely moving, not a sound.
Really?
Complete silence.
And a little bit of a wind because from what it's moving?
People have talked to me about that, and they felt that maybe this movement that I had heard just as it was coming over me was like some kind of force field that was underneath the ship, magnetic field or whatever it was that was holding it up.
Wow.
And you know, fighting against gravity of the Earth. Well, maybe that had something, you know, where it has movement and stuff. So.
Well, any it displaces volume and it's moving through the air, so it's going to move the air. There's going to be a certain amount of air movement.
Right.
Well, the question I'm going to get into is the spiritual connection, if any, you felt with it, because we have a lot of information now starting to come out about reverse engineered craft, zero point energy, and the new elements in the periodic table that help the retrofitting or reverse engineered U.S. craft to do this kind of thing. But I've never heard any reports that the alleged craft that are out there do anything with by shutting up the katydids or keeping the birds quiet or making them fly or having people other than getting wowed by the visual experience, having a spiritual experience along with it. So why don't you go into that a little bit?
That night, I was just kind of so shocked that the fear that I had before, not knowing what's coming up behind me, that all kind of disappeared because I'm looking up at this thing and just overwhelmed at the size of it and these orb-like lights underneath it that, you know, went out along the triangular shape of the ship and how it was just moving in it. And I totally forgot, you know, about fear. I'm just overwhelmed with, wow, you know, what is this, you know, and who is this? Because nothing.
So you're very afraid at this point.
No.
Oh, you're not afraid.
No. It the fear kind of disappeared.
Oh, really?
And I didn't realize it at that point, you know, because I was afraid just prior to that.
Uh-huh.
But then afterwards, after it kind of floated off and went over the next hill, that fear started coming back and creeping back in. Like, you know, what did I just experience?
Yeah,
you know,
what the hell was that?
And so I kind of took off down the hill, you know, and made it back to my house, and
sure,
the next morning I told my dad about it, you know. Uh-huh. And he was really interested, and for the next few years we actually went out and did some star watching, and we followed craft like that.
Uh-huh.
over a period of years, you know, trying to keep up with it and see what it was. And
wow,
we even had family friends try to call us
like a fan club
from across town to tell us about a huge one, 2 football fields in size, floating just sitting above their street.
Right.
And the whole neighborhood's out there looking up at it in Brookfield, Connecticut, and you never heard anything in the news about it. But all the people were standing there looking.
Well, you know, they can communicate on levels that we can. I really believe that. I mean, they probably have a toggle switch on the dashboard that says eliminate news media exposure.
They just have to think about it, and it'll happen.
Yeah. Well, that's a really cool thing when you start young with it. And like, there's like that painting in your house of the pyramid. When I was a little kid, my mom and dad, actually my mom and my nanny, my mom's mom, they always had Fate magazine in the house. You remember Fate magazine?
No. But go on.
F-A-T-E.
Fate. You still can buy some of those.
Yeah, you can get all the back issues, too. Yep. Now, these were like I think they started 47 or 1948, okay? And this was all the eclectic news, UFO sightings and spiritual miracles, and those were always laying around my house.
Yeah, I didn't get any of those. My family was your basic military-industrial complex kind of family. So I'm fascinated to hear about this magazine. Well,
my family, they were frustrated dairy farmers trying to get the hell out of there by whatever means possible.
Beam me up.
Yeah, upstate New York.
I want to leave Rome.
Yeah. well, so in other words, Michael, you were saying that that they've done some reverse engineering on these things, and they look alike and they sound alike, but they don't have the magic. They don't have that. You would know you were looking at something man-made because
they don't have the exoconscious spiritual connection. They're mechanical in nature. And I'm inclined to believe that the entities that we're in touch with are a combination of far more than just a man in machine. So I think that's what the spiritual connection is. I have to think on it a little bit longer. So,
well, it's only natural that it would be. Let's see. It's going to be something that you know, like, and it is amazing when there's like huge sightings. Like you say, the whole neighborhood was out there looking at it, and then the story died down outside of the town, right?
Well, the government was trying to run it off as ultralight flyers flying in formation out of Stormville, New York.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they tried to play it off or dirigibles. But, you know, I've stood under blimps. Mm-hmm. I've stood under ultralights. All of them have that whirring noise of a motor.
Sure.
And you can hear them when they're going over.
And this was in complete silence. That's amazing.
Absolute silence.
Well, and, you know, and it would make sense, too, because it seems to me our extraterrestrial friends have access to energy levels far exceeding anything our mind could even comprehend.
Yeah, what blows me away is the speeds they move at. They can be warp 10 as far as breaking the speed of sound locally. You won't hear a whisper out of them.
Yeah.
And when they get up there, they're, you know. I just kind of figured out what I wanted to say before. Is that when you get these reverse engineered craft, you have something that exists as mind separate from matter. But when the ET craft appear, these non-human entities, these energetic or energy beings, mind and matter are combined in the same thing. And you get on that wavelength, that resonance, and that connection. That's why you feel the heart chakra yank you out of yourself and into this experience with this extraterrestrial craft.
Ah, yes. That would be a culminating energy point.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Where you're going to get that connection. All right. And also, too, Michael was saying you had some military experience in some various...
Yes, sir. One of the people that actually was involved with the UFO sightings in Brookfield, Connecticut, happened to be a colonel out of the United States Air Force, and he flew missions over Germany.
Really?
In World War II, and he talked about the Foo Fighters and stuff like that. Well,
no, for those that don't know, what are Foo Fighters?
Foo Fighters were what they saw as UFOs over there. They didn't know who was driving these crafts, but they were miraculous as the speeds that they could go and how they moved and everything else, and they seemed to be observing all sides.
And they didn't have any swastikas or anything like that on them, you know?
No.
So, okay.
Swastika free.
We're just kind of trying to clear out the whole Hitler influence thing here. So these are the real Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were more or less observing, you know, the Watchers.
The best band that Dave Grohl's ever been in.
There you go.
Sorry, I couldn't let it go by.
Talk about esoterica.
But, I mean, what a great title for your band, though. I mean, it's people's... funny sounding, people don't know what it is. So you're fighting Foo. Does Foo need fighting?
Well, it depends. You know, that's what we used to call, like, well, Moo when I was a kid. It's like you got Moo in your pants. It was like, so the whole idea of Foo Fighters was like, whoa, wait a minute. Got to bring it out of the playpen, you know?
Well, why I brought him up is because once I did go in, I graduated high school and I went in the Marines.
Okay.
So, in the Marines...
Like many a good man did.
He actually did part of my background check, you know, and they decided to give me a top secret security clearance, and I was a nuclear artilleryman.
This is upon acceptance to the Marine Corps?
No, I got in. I went to a lot of the basic training.
Right.
My basic school was artillery.
Uh-huh.
But then... because of him,
mm-hmm.
I got involved with the nuclear part of it.
Oh.
I ended up going to Norfolk Naval Station where they had Nuclear Weapons Training Group Atlantic, and they trained me up for, you know, everything from the 8-inch guns of the howitzers all the way to the 16-inch guns on the battleships of firing nuclear tactical rounds.
So you had a top security clearance, huh?
Yeah.
Man. And were they sharing any extraterrestrial news in there? Is there anything you can say? You haven't been sworn to secrecy. You'll lose your thumbs if you talk about it.
Most of the stuff that happened on the inside, you really can't talk about, you know. And but that colonel, I could tell you stories about stuff that he's told me over the years, you know. But right now, we're still working on my story.
Yeah, we are. Let's say hi to some folks watching on Facebook Live. Hi, Donna, Sylvia, Daniel Miller. Hey, brother, how's Canada, man? You guys are cold. Yeah, I got my sweatshirt on. These are the winter shows. And Jerry Donnelly, the world's strongest triathlete at nearly 60 years old. This guy's a real stallion.
Cool.
He should do a Viagra commercial. But Andrew Gill, and thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for listening. There's Bobby Taylor Carpenter. I'm going to see him Saturday morning on the Grease Guru Show. And, okay, we're going to get back to Leroy Spooner, ladies and gentlemen. He's an experiencer. He's actually had visible contact, and then he went on into the military, and he's had some security clearances and saw some things and heard about some things that he can't quite discuss here on the IMHO.love show. But that's okay. I like mysteries. They're all going to get unfolded one of these days. It's just not the time for this one. So we'll just leave that right there for a minute. Now, Michael, you wrote an absolutely beautiful piece, and you posted it up on Facebook, and it's on the IMHO.love show. And what we talk about here a lot of times, and what you were talking about when you had that sighting and you had that feeling like the fear was initially there, then it went away, then the fear came back. What you were probably experiencing, in my, you know, layman abilities to describe it, is you were experiencing the exoconsciousness of the whole thing that was happening right there. It was the beings, it was you, it was the earth, it was all that, it was all at one thing. You were feeling that oneness, okay? And Michael, you know, you pulled together some really, really beautiful thoughts here. And I love the indigo ray thing, but go ahead.
For those who want to find it, you can find it on imho.love, the Facebook site. I also have it on the Darby Ranch site. Where to start on this? Let me kind of start at the beginning. I end up doing Facebook and coming into contact with wonderful people on the sites where this radio show is published by way of YouTube. There's about 70 sites out there, ET, UFO, connecting sites that I'm a member at. And
where we meet a myriad of people.
Yeah, it started out as like two, yes. And it just keeps, this whole thing just keeps on growing and growing and growing. And I've been blessed with the people that have contacted me, I've had conversations with. So one of the gentlemen that I ended up discussing both Tao and Ra with in the same conversation was
really,
like, wow, yeah, how rare is that? So you have an experienced student of Tao and an experienced student of Ra.
You guys are on the same little league team there.
Yeah, and once again, you know, you bring your resonance with you and you attract the same kind of resonance.
Sure.
Which is kind of what we're doing here. We're trying to raise everybody's level so that we're resonant with each other, and the lower forms of resonance that are, you know, that are toxic, have to raise their game. They get onto this eventually.
Sure.
So, in Ra, there's a couple of sessions, and one is session 32, another one is 46, and a further one is 61, but I get this started with Lao-tzu, who is a wonderful study, and the study of Lao-tzu and the Tao Te Ching brought me into vibrational frequencies. And Lao-tzu talks about if a man or a human being understands everything in life as a product of rays, then he understands
rays, R-A-Y-S,
right. Then he understands the nature of reality. And I always had a problem with that because, in the translation, you could also read vibration or wave, but that wouldn't be a true translation. That would be an interpretation. So I had to stick with Ray's, and it wasn't until I stumbled into the raw tapes or the Law of One about a year ago. Session 32 essentially talks about awareness and seeking the one, the logos, by a balanced self-accepting self, and who accepts his apparent distortion and total perfection. And what Ra ends up going into is different vibratory patterns and rays in which we raise ourself in realization of, quote, the one, the infinite source, the Tao.
Yes.
It's all the same thing. It's just another description of it. But we do that.
And a nice one.
Yeah, it is. And we do that by practicing the unity consciousness where we recognize the connection of all. And even science is getting us to the point where you get black matter and you have dark energy and it all connects even though you can't see it. You can't see the gluons that are passing through your system right now or shooting through the Earth and the planet. You can't see any of that stuff.
But trust us, they're out there.
They are. And it's just like, like we have nights when we're out in the field and we're all feeling it. We all know that there's something out there. But it's just not manifesting, and there's a million reasons for it not to manifest.
Sure.
But there's a million reasons for it to be present and not manifested, and for us to understand and just get that it's still there.
Sure. Wow. Well, Michael, that's fabulous. Man, that was a fast half hour. you're listening to the IMHO.love show. We have our special guest on, Leroy Spooner, who has some incredible stories. We're going to go to break, and for those of you watching on Facebook Live, you're going to get something a little different. You're going to actually, Jerry, what's Viagra? Anyway, you're going to get a little special treat. Pete, our producer, who is on the ball this week, baby. Dude, you are dress shirt looking good. You got it together today.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Now, last week was a disaster.
Complete disaster.
Last week was 1976 Buccaneers.
That's bad. That's really bad.
But anyway, Pete put a little comedy clip together so you don't have to sit through several minutes of silence if you're watching on Facebook. So this is, a little, and we'll start detailing these things out and making them better. But this is some stand-up I did a few years ago, and while we go to break, everybody else, you can just sit through the music and the ads and all that stuff, and we'll be back. Oh, and the news. The news is coming. Or a brand of the news. We'll be seeing you in a little bit.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Longtime friend, former GOP Senator Ellen Simpson of Wyoming, turned tears to laughter in recalling the time they attended.
Welcome, my good buddy, Mr. Lou Angel Wolf.
I lived out in Texas for a couple of years. Recently just moved back. Love Texas, man. And that old story, everything's bigger in Texas, it's true. They got some big bugs out there, boy. They got mosquitoes so big out there, after they bite you, they offer you orange juice and cookies. Like, hey, man, we took a lot of blood. You all right? You need to sit down and spell. Soda pop on soda pop. All the mosquitoes sound like Matthew McConaughey. All right. You got the plug what you need now, buddy. And in Florida, we got the opposite thing. We got little bugs. We got the little ones. The no-see-ems. Oh, God, don't you wish they were called no-feel-ems? What miserable little creatures these are. They're just filled with hate. Just flying around and biting the shit out of you. They're like little divorce attorneys. Just attacking them. Living out in Texas, man. You live out in Texas, you wind up working in the Midwest. And it was an adventure. They sent me up to Kansas. You ever been to Kansas? You know what they could use in Kansas? A hill. It's the flattest place I've ever seen in my life. In Kansas, you can watch your dog run away for 3 days. You stand on a can of tuna fish, you can watch him 2 more days. You stand on a cement block, you can see the back of your own head. And the Midwest used to be so wholesome, not so much anymore. They sent me up to Iowa. They got a bad drug problem in Iowa. Did you know that? The kids up there, they're smoking crack corn. They're buying it from some guy named Jimmy. He don't care. And if you keep going up I-35, man, you wind up in Minnesota. Oh, those people, it's so cold up there. But, and they know about Florida, but they're never coming. They go, oh gosh, it's a little hot down there, eh? But sometimes they bust loose. You'll see somebody from Minnesota come down here for the first time. They've never been to Florida before. And they go to the beach. And they wear their bikini for the first time ever. And they just lay out there. They kind of look like a badly rolled joint. They just kind of divots and lumps and twigs sticking out. But that whole area up there, it's always cold up there. That Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. Yeah, man, it's always purple on the USA Today weather map. It's just a cold place, man. But they, as much as we love our warm temperatures here, they love the cold up there. I'm talking to this guy from Michigan. He says, it gets so cold in Michigan in the wintertime, when you talk, you have to wait for the words to defrost before you can even hear it. I said, man, that's pretty cold. Guy said, well, I live in Wisconsin. It gets so cold in Wisconsin. Last year I was walking down the sidewalk. I spit, killed a poodle. Man, that's pretty cold. Guy said, well, I live over in Minnesota. It gets so cold in Minnesota. Last year we were camping. I woke up in the middle of the night. I felt something in my pajamas. I reached right back down, pulled out a big old chunk of ice. I held it up to the lantern, it melted, it melted, it melted, went. That's pretty cold, see? See, that was a fart joke and a physics joke. That was a joke for each side of your brain. Hey, he's freezing gas up there. That's pretty clever. And it made the fart noise we love so much. Let my hair grow out a little bit, man. Yeah, let my...
Desire to do something adventurous, exciting, fun, delicious, or suspicious, and don't know why or when it hit you? Well, now you'll know. 441-3311. Yes, you'll hear it right here on your own local radio station. You can shout your message to the world. Get people to come to your business, enjoy your services or goods, and the good news is it's affordable. Call 441-3311. That's 727-441-3311. And, oh, by the way, my name is Lola.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I'm Lou Angel Wolf here, Michael Merberg, our special guest this week, Leroy Spooner, on the IMHO.love show. And that's in my humble opinion, because that's all this world is just a one big ribbon of opinion.
My holograph is better than your holograph.
Well, my Venn diagram blows away your Venn diagram. One night we'll just sit and argue about the meaninglessness of an entire human life.
We have an infinite amount of time to do it.
As long as our hearts are pumping. Well, to recap, folks, and thanks for everybody for sticking around for the second half. This show usually runs about an hour, and got 10 folks watching live right now. That's nice. Good job, Pete. And Leroy was talking about he's actually had some first-person experiences with extraterrestrial craft. And then he went into the military. Yeah, you were in the Marines?
Yes.
Okay. You're in the Marine Corps, and you had some top security clearances. Okay. And I know you can't tell us all the juicy stuff, but what happened, though?
Were you ever out at Area 52? Well, 51.
51, the first one.
You've been to 52.
Yeah, 52 I've been to. I mean,
yeah. Did you go to any of those places? Any of those?
I've been to China Lake, which is a naval air station out in the middle of Mojave, right at the base, bottom of the Death Valley area.
Really?
And it's like an experimental area, you know, where they test ordnance and different types of craft, our jets and fighters, and how they bring them in. Like if you're a forward observer and you're calling in fire. You know, you can stand up on the ridge looking off the cliff and watch these craft come in and drop their bombs and shoot things up.
Only the military would call that a lake in the middle of the Mojave Desert.
There you go.
You got to think about that for a little bit.
It's a dry lake area.
Watch the birdie. And watch the birdie.
That's similar to the other dry lake area that they have.
The dry lake area.
But I've been, you know, around military aircraft, because I've been to a lot of air shows, private for military purpose only, to where, you know, you don't have all kinds of cameras and stuff like that. So I've had Harriers come in right in front of me and Warthog, you know, the craft go past and, you know.
Man, we build some destructo things, don't we?
We do.
Man, I tell you what, I don't know if you saw that post about Fox News was talking about the new laser beam technology that our jets are going to have.
Well, we have naval ships that can use laser beams also.
Yeah, and it's silent.
Ground-based, naval, and aircraft right now with lasers.
You know, it's funny. The microwaves have been a frightening thing to me since the earliest one that you used to, you know, that you used to heat up chili in, you know, microwave ovens. They came into our house, and I actually had one blow up at work one day right in front of me. The sparks were flying, and it was pretty wild, you know. And I said, it was a lot of energy in that little box right there, tremendous amount. And I'm thinking, and this is just this petered down. I mean, this is just off an idle, you know, as far as the microwave energy that they can create. And then several years ago, I've been, you know, chasing ideas down rabbit holes my whole life. And then I read this article about microwave bombs that they can, that enemy warcraft or whomever it is, who I don't know, they probably bought it from us. You can lob these microwave bombs into an area and they'll land and they'll cook every piece of meat within X amount of miles. Just cook it from the inside, okay? But it leaves the structure and, you know, everything, and, you know, the infrastructure and all the buildings and everything's just fine. All you have to do is you have a massive cleanup of, you know, carcasses.
Well, you've seen the videos that they have where the police now have these handheld units that they can shoot microwaves at people to drive, break crowds up and stop protests and stuff like this. So if a martial law was ever called here in the United States, you'd be surprised what comes out and what they use on us.
Yeah, you know, that whole thing's creepy because they show it to you little by little. They just pull back the curtain and go, hey, look at this. Scary, huh? And they pull it back. But here's the thing. They don't build that crap without the intention of using it. And what happens is they get itchy. They go, man, we got that crowd control device. I think we all see how good it works. Let's draw us a crowd that we can disperse.
Okay, talk about being on the same page. About 2 minutes ago, I wrote down, itching to pull the trigger.
Well, there's a lot of energy in this room tonight, I can tell you that. And this is the collective, the bad collective thought that comes from all this. And there's another one that they have. They do it with tones. They can emit a tone, like a, it's a real brrr, like way down, low tone.
Right, make you sick to your stomach.
It makes you vomit, makes you lose control of your bowel. It gives you this crazy ass headache.
Kind of like listening to Ethel Merman.
For an hour and a half.
For those of you who are under 80, forget about it. You'll never get the funny part.
But
of
if you're 80, that was a hot Ethel Merman reference. So anyway, so and yeah, I mean, how hard is a crowd to handle? That's, you know, pooping and vomiting. They're pretty easy to handle.
Yes,
he's kind of move. Hey, pooper over here.
Get out of that mess. Clean yourself up. You're on TV. You. Your mother's looking.
Look at you. What would you experience? A death ray? What was that? So anyway, go ahead. Oh, okay. That's why I thought I cut you off.
We just sorry.
So anyway, so that we've got all these weapons of mass destruction or minor destruction. I guess, you know, you can do it both ways. And I really do think that it's that dark reptilian mindset that exists in the world. Because people like us, we don't think that way. We don't, I don't know you that well, Libra, but I don't think you're the kind of guy that sits around and go, you know, if I put this piece of energy into this delivery system, I could destroy everybody.
Yeah, I'm still looking for the Ark of the Covenant, you know.
Oh.
Isn't that what they used?
That's the big power, dude. That's the, you get that one. That's yeah. That's like extra points. The
it's at Area 51.
But
not at Area 52 yet.
Oh, no. It'll go on tour one day.
Never know.
Yeah. Anyway, so this energy is so much, and humans are so dumb that we're going, you know, it's only a matter of time when the ego overtakes these guys and they want to use it. They're going to want to use it. They, you know, that's what the military industrial complex is all about. It's to make there's enough weapons in the war in the world right now to flatten everything.
Yeah.
You know, this could be, you know.
Well, you know, speaking of technology, when I was over at Kadena Air Force Base over in Okinawa, when I was stationed over there,
mm-hmm.
I was about to take a 5-ton truck and a pulled howitzer and load it into C-130s. We were flying down to Thailand. And I stood right there on the flight deck and watched SR-71 Blackbird pull up on deck and just take off. Blue rings shot out behind it. Blue flames.
Yeah.
Just, you know, from the force. And that thing got up, you know, just below the clouds and nose went up and it disappeared. It was gone. And seeing the technology that we had that we've now put under wraps and you know,
that was 20 years ago.
Right. We don't use that anymore. We got better stuff now. So they have technology in the government right now that could just amaze.
Oh, it's stunning and stunning and frightening.
Yes.
And I think they, like I said, it's either another piece of propaganda that none of this stuff really exists. Okay, there's that. They can just tell us it exists because they're very good at telling us things that aren't true.
Yeah. Okay. What I posited today was because we've managed to reverse engineer these sorts of technologies. I think that is one of the facts why we've had an increased number of ET and HIV contact. Is that's why things have become accelerated, because number one, they weren't expecting us to knock the craft down years ago. Whatever reasons, we got a hold of technology. And now, being the primates that we are, we're very, very dangerous with it. So, we know they've shut down our nuclear bases. There was eyewitness testimony that, you know, after Chernobyl, the ET and HIV, the ET craft were there to do whatever they did to help to shut it down, even though the Russians did a good job about
Japan also
digging it out, but. But I think it's one of the reasons why things have been accelerated is because we've latched onto this technology and we haven't developed as a race. We haven't developed civilization, especially here in the United States, where we're just, you know, we're just as dangerous now as we were 200 years ago. We haven't evolved, you know, beyond that point where we're not an empire of destruction and conquest.
Yes, well, we're not. The upper echelons of people that we will never know their names, never know their existence. You know, they have a different agenda.
They always say, follow the money.
Follow the money is one of the truest statements I've ever heard in my life, and I believe it. And because, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people have a hard time believing, like, global banking conspiracies.
Yeah, they do. It's remarkable because it's a fact.
Yeah, exactly. These are, yeah, and the fact that America has spent over $20 trillion on war-type devices since 2001, or was it 91?
And that's where they get their biggest profits, the banks.
Sure.
From war.
Well, they finance wars because wars create need for everything. So when we're working on this whole fiat monetary system, and it's just constantly perpetuated by, you know, horrible loss and this and that. And that's why those of you who are listening in the United States and friendly, if you live in a friendly country, I mean, kiss the sky every morning, the fact that you don't have to live in this war-torn region that these governments have created all over the world, man. There's people just absolutely suffering the worst experiences in their life right now. And, you know, and here we are back in America. You know, we can't save the whole planet because you can't even trust the people to give the money to go do something right. Everybody's got this ability to skim. And, I heard a preacher say one time, he goes, how come everybody that wants to hand out the milk of loving kindness wants to skim the cream off the top first? You know? And what happened, and so, and people don't, I have this long diatribe about socialism on my Facebook page. It's just taking on a life of its own. I'm going to water it and see if it blooms. But what it is, people have a hard time believing that socialism won't work. And even in the smallest groups, okay, like just something easy. Let's just say we're going to a flea market and we have a bunch of crap to sell out of the garage. And somewhere along the line, there's a guy that figures out how to cut not paying the sales tax on all the stuff that he sells. And that little tiny level of greed and dishonesty is only going to grow exponentially because it becomes part of the environment. And why people don't think that if you were living under a system of overlords that dispensed your goods and there were people in charge of your dispensing, how do those guys not get on the take and watching out for themselves? Because what that creates is a fear of lack. So when people have a fear of lack, that's when their whole energy fields just turn in the wrong direction. And now they start cutting those little corners, taking a little extra piece for themselves, maybe taking that bribe, maybe taking that tip. And this stuff just grows throughout the whole world.
Yeah, and then it became the USSR in the last century.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly.
And we see how well that turned out.
Sure. So, I mean, you take it from the flea market, then you take it to a cattle auction, then you take it to, the business that runs, a feed company. All this stuff, all this greed just perpetuates itself. And why people think it stops at the top, that you can trust a government agency to feed you, clothe you, and take care of you for your subservience, that's a long way to go.
That's why we don't have free energy.
That's exactly why we don't have
free energy. That's why they took all of Nikola Tesla's inventions and it all disappeared. It got pushed into a closet someplace.
Well, the night that he died, the FBI raided his living space and took every piece of paper, every file that they could possibly find. And, but that's the ways of business because, Tesla's energy current was much cleaner than the AC/DC current that we deal with now. But the AC/DC current created this entire industry unto itself. You know, you had to have power stations, you had to have wiring, you had to have plugs, you had to have people to do it. So industry, you know, the electric industry kind of, you know, invented itself. And it was, you know, it's an amazing technology. But what I'm saying is that free energy that was flying through the air.
Zero point energy.
There was no, you know, there was not a whole lot of way to make a profit on that.
And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
It's profit.
Absolutely. So, you know, it was funny. I got a 19-year-old son, and he's in college now, and he was up with his friends. He said they were up till dawn talking about the meaninglessness of everything. And how, because they were talking about, you know, they're studying the, you know, corporate structure and stuff like that in their classes now. And Isaac's been hanging around me long enough. I've just dropped little things in his ear. And they looked some of them up online, and I was validated. And he said the whole conversation just got down to, man, why do we do this? I think what it is somebody started the conversation with, accruing this massive college debt to go do a job and then take forever to pay back your college debt. I mean, it's this really lopsided thing. And there are people equally as talented without that, you know, piece of...
Well, the system wants you to be a slave. And how do you be a become a slave? By following what the system tells you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And by being a debtor. So,
keep running through the maze, man.
Right. It's a debtor's prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you can become a sovereign.
Yeah, I've been studying that a little bit. It's a lot of work.
I'll bring you some booklets on it.
Oh, really? You have some sovereign stuff, huh? Okay, that's interesting. And it's very true. Very true. I mean, I agree with all of it, you know. And it's what not to agree with. It's actually how the law is supposed to be proposed.
Exactly.
And but, consequently, all the edges, all those sharp edges that the sovereign doctrines create have all been rounded off by our local law enforcement, governmental law enforcement, because... even the scripture says this. It says, in the end times, my people will perish for their lack of knowledge. And that's what it is we don't know these things. This type of information is not, it's something you got to find on your own.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody that's listening to the IMHO.love show. Maybe you're looking for something, and it comes around here. It comes around here. The spirit that's created by the show. And I just want to let some people know, too, with the CE5 experiences. You hear us talk about them all the time. But I get to see Leroy once a month or so. I can make most of them, you know. But what you experience there is Michael has this beautiful ranch out there at Area 52. And we meet for a collective dinner and fellowship and sharing and talking, and because a lot goes on in a month between visits. We started out a few years ago with two or three people, and now what was the last count on the last one, Michael?
90.
We're up to 90.
And that's up like 18 in a week.
Okay. Well, I don't know if bigger is better.
No, it's not. But the numbers are reflective of the interest that this is starting to garner.
Sure.
And just like any kind of snowball, you know, it started as a couple of snowflakes out in the field, and now it's kind of like a snow boulder.
I think part of the interest has come from the videos that we've been posting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. From our actual awesome events that have been taking place out there.
Yeah, absolutely. People are really, really thirsting for this, and they want to have it happen. And what we hope is that it spins off other CE5 groups. You know, there's other people that have locations, and they would like to do the same thing. Because this is, you know, we really do truly believe this is all one thing. I mean, the tree in the front yard, the fish in the sea.
We don't believe it. That's what science is showing us.
That's not just belief. That's reality. Okay. And
I've been convinced.
Being convinced. And it's not only I who says it, but...
He knows.
I've experienced it. The people with whom I'm associated with are highly evolving spiritual beings. That's what we teach at the ranch. I was sitting with a college roommate of mine 40 years ago, and it was just like yesterday. You know, we knew each other. We got along right off the bat, you know, from the first, you know, hi, good to see you, man. But he asked me a question, and I'm sitting we're having dinner, and I'm sitting with Rosemary and my significant other. And he says, look, you know, you convinced me to start thinking about this, but what is becoming involved in CE5 going to give me? I mean, I'm a kind of a three-dimensional kind of guy. What's it going to give me?
Sure.
And I said, I said, Rose, what does it give you? And she goes, la paz, la tranquilidad. La amo. So it was the peace, the tranquility, and the love. And that's the vibration that really permeates the group out there and becomes the central thing. There are none of us out there who are bad people.
No.
None are afraid. We're all fearless, especially the core group that have been doing this a while. There's a feeling of love and commitment among us as members of humanity, which is, if we could take that feeling that we have, that kind of love and commitment that we have for each other as friends and brothers and sisters, and spread that to the rest of humanity, there would be no chance of war ever occurring.
Yes.
And that's the importance of CE5.
Yeah, Michael, that's, you know, if there was ever a mission statement, that's it. You know, I mean, you get a beautiful collective of people, peaceful souls. We unify in a meditation or a prayer, and we try to communicate with divine spirit.
We do.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And you're exactly. They do show up, don't they, brother?
Yes, they do.
And if you're interested in that, go to disabilityattorney.net. And email Michael. He will send you the CE5 protocols. Get you started. You can also go to acefivehandbook.com. That's acefivehandbook.com. That's Celia Hatch's book. And she can tell you how to start your own group. Ladies and gentlemen, you have spent another hour with the In My Humble Opinion Love Show. And Leroy, thank you so much for coming. We would love to have you back. I think we barely just opened the can. So I'm sure you have many more tales.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Michael, you looking great? You feeling good?
Yep, feeling good.
Very good. Pete, excellent job tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And thank you all my beautiful Facebook friends that watch. Everybody watched on YouTube. The IMHO, if you're not friends with us on there, please hook up with us. We'd love to see you again. And we're here every Wednesday night from 7:30 to 8:30. Tell your friends, and thank you so much. And blessings from the one.
Don't forget to say, hey, we're on YouTube too. So IMHO.love on YouTube. So
yes.
Hit like and subscribe, and you can get the show whenever you want.
And we'll give you a free pizza. You're the right guy.
We got CE5 this weekend coming up, don't
we? CE5 this weekend. So, like I said, if you're really, truly interested, disabilityattorney.net, email Michael, get you the protocols, and you'll see what you're in for. All right. Ciao.